Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast, our almost weekly show where we discuss all of the live streaming industry news and content creator news. We've got a pre-packed show tonight, but today for most of you watching, tonight here in the UK. First, we'll talk to our co-host and see how he's doing. So, Ben, how are you over in the States?
Hey man, I'm doing good. Yeah, it's almost weekly, mostly weekly, I guess you could say. But excited to be back today for a good bit of news to talk to this week and some interesting things that happened on Twitter and things like that. But I'm good, Pete. How you been over the past week or two?
Yeah, I've been pretty good. Been following a lot of the drama that's been going on across the streamosphere over the past couple of weeks. We'll be touching on most of it, I guess. Keeping things lighthearted, but covering the important bits. But we've got to start with the biggest news of the week, I think, yeah. Ben. This came out literally just as the show, as we were planning notes for the show. So it's kind of saved the podcast, really, because it's what we need to be talking about. And that, of course, is the news that Snoop Dogg, and as I say that and swap to my screen share, I realize I haven't got the screen share on. Snoop Dogg has joined FaZe Clan. That's the wrong window. I have to refresh this. You keep going.
Yeah, so this just came out. Obviously, this is the big highlight of the week that you guys are all here tuned in for to talk about with us today. Snoop Dogg is on FaZe Clan, which is massive. Just announced, I think, like a couple hours ago, actually, which is wild. I'd ever see that coming.
I'll play the video whilst we're talking about it, because it's actually a pretty cool animation of his joining FaZe Clan. But I think, didn't he perform at the Super Bowl? You're going to have to, outstates me here, but he performed at the Super Bowl and was wearing a FaZe Clan chain. Yeah. So maybe the writing was always on the wall with this, but I know we have some diehard FaZe Clan viewers in the chat that want to know, all about where Snoop Dogg is signing his streaming contract. It's quite a cool video to watch because he's a bit of a memed streamer, but obviously celebrity streamers bring a lot of attention to Twitch. So maybe this means that he's going to be streaming more hours.
Yeah, he has been streaming, actually, and his streams are very funny to watch if you've never seen them before. Mostly just getting mad at sports games and things like that. But I just think it's super interesting that they're bringing, obviously, that he even wanted to do this at all, come on to FaZe, because he's streaming, but he's also on their board. He's a board member. So I don't know exactly how much sway he'll have over FaZe as a company, but really interesting and definitely one of the bigger signings I've seen from an org in a long time.
By far the funniest thing of this highlights clip, by the way, is there's a bit of them like showing him how to do the phase up like hand signal. That's it there, and he's like, you can see him like struggling to do it. This is somebody that's made like the West Side, East Side hand signals famous in the world, and they're making him do the phase one. Anyway, obviously we're kind of half joking. That is news, I guess, but we've got more important things to touch on. I think we dive straight in with something that we were gonna talk about in the last episode, but there was a couple of issues with the release. But that is the update to OBS. Technically OBS version 27.2.2 now, or no, 0.3 with the hotfix changes, but the actual new features came out in 27.2. We just weren't recommending people updated until some of the issues were fixed. There was just one issue in particular that was causing people to blue screen, and actually Jim, the lead developer, put together a whole blog post about this hotfix and kind of the crazy 24, 48 hours that he had trying to solve it and fix it, because obviously OBS is such a popular program now that when they release an update that they think works for everybody and then they get reports back of some people blue screening, that's like panic mode. That must be anxiety inducing to the absolute maximum. So it's a really interesting blog post. I find it interesting because I used to be a developer, and actually most people would find it incredibly boring, but go and look at it. I'll link it in the show notes and in the podcast notes once the episode is live, or you can just search for the OBS Patreon and you can find it there. Quite a lot of new features. Obviously, a minor update in terms of it's not a full version change, but 0.2 actually does bring like a pretty heavy under the hood change, which is they've updated the version of Chromium they use, which is how they do browser sources in OBS Studio. They were running a super old version and they couldn't update because of how many issues updating would cause. But they finally got around to like going from version, it says here, from browser source version 75 to 95. So like, I think it's like over 2 years of updates that's been built into their browser that have now come to OBS, which allows for more features and less bugs, I think, going forward in the future. So Ben and chat in general, have you updated your version of OBS to 27.2.3?
Thankfully, yes. And actually, there's one thing I want to talk about. And I don't know if it was this update or one of the previous ones, but one of the features they added was the ability to make a single scene or a source in your scene, add that to your virtual camera, which for me is huge because that means now you can take your camera and use it in OBS and also send that to Discord at the same time, which previously you couldn't do. So that's a game changer for me. And not, you know, you could do it before, but it was the entire scene. Now you can have your camera like you're doing an interview or something and send it that way too. So that was a huge update for me that I'm really excited about. But yeah, obviously the hot fix for the issues they were having is pretty necessary for last week as well.
Yeah, so all around a good update. I probably will put some content out about the actual updates like I usually do. But just trying to fit videos in with all the videos that we're putting out at the moment. Let's go from good news of the OBS update to probably what was the most memeable news of the week, and that is I can't actually remember how you pronounce the name of the company.
Artesian
builds giveaway, which kind of went viral. So I don't know how big of a company this is. I hadn't heard of them before this whole fiasco. But to explain to people that don't know or weren't following or don't care to take part in Twitter drama, basically a PC building company, I think in the States, do sort of live streams of them building computers, and they're running a giveaway. The person that won the giveaway was then told live on stream that she didn't qualify. She didn't meet the requirements that they kind of just made up because I guess she didn't have enough followers or viewers. This clip went viral, and then it just turned into a bit of a shit show, didn't it, really? Like, there was a fake apology from the CEO, which has since been deleted, and loads of companies and like big influencers have jumped on board. I think the person that won the giveaway has now got like 3 or 4 PCs that have been built by huge companies or big YouTubers or things like that. But I think it's worth highlighting things like this. We obviously, when we covered Valkyrae's Reflect makeup that reflected blue light and the controversy around that, it's useful to try and take these experiences and learn from them all together. And, you know, I'm not saying that anybody in chat is running a PC building company. Although, Ben, I've just realized, actually, maybe this is a conflict of interest for you because obviously, you know, you work for Legion. Maybe
not anymore. They don't exist pretty soon, it seems like. So,
exactly. No.
I agree. I think this is interesting to talk about because I don't think we always talk about drama necessarily on this show, but just the fact that it was a company that did a lot of sponsorships. I believe they actually built PCs for a lot of like top streamers to get their name out there. And then obviously they had this affiliate ambassador program for some streamers that quite a few are a part of. But yeah, just the way they handled this, especially from their CEO, really, I think that he kind of single-handedly dug the whole company into the ground with how the operation went. So it's just interesting to see how quickly a company like that can fall apart by just not handling a stream well. And then the follow-up from that, from apologies also not going well, things like that. And it just shows you, like, you have to be careful about the brands that you identify with and who's at the top too, like who's actually leading the company and kind of being the voice for that brand too, especially on live streams. And if your CEO is going to be on your live streams, you got to be pretty well-spoken and used to the whole Twitch culture for that kind of thing.
Just so out of touch was what I got from the apology video. I'd never seen any of his or their content before, but just like kind of baffles me how people like that can run successful companies and still think that they should appear on live streams. Because there was quite a few like big popular streamers that were sponsored or in some way affiliated with them, like Pestly, who's like obviously one of the top 1% streamers. I saw him tweeting out that he was no longer associated with them because of this whole drama. And I think that was the case for quite a few big streamers. Not much really to say on this, to be honest with you, Ben. Just entertaining watch if you managed to miss any of it.
Definitely watch the apology if you've not seen that, because it will make you chuckle. If you like watching apology videos that don't go very well and have terrible audio, then definitely check that out one too. I think it's also interesting that some influencers, some streamers said they want to buy the company and try and save it, which I guess we'll see if they do that. I feel like you'd want to stay away from a company like that, but maybe you just want to save the people who are working there, and I kind of respect that at least.
Well, the latest tweet that we've seen from them is basically saying at this point we are examining a potential employee-led buyout of the company. So I think, you know, things have really gotten bad there. I saw that they you know, weren't paying taxes and things like that. That's the problem with if you take heat on the internet, people will dig out your earning reports and make sure that you're paying tax. They'll find something that you've done wrong over the past year. So, you know, best just to not piss off the internet if you can avoid it. Moving on to happier news, Facebook updates. I mean, we say happier. This is probably
happier?
The most minuscule of platform updates for Facebook streamers. But as we agreed at the start of this year, Ben, we're going to cover Facebook because it's a real platform that people stream to. We just don't know any of those people.
Who are they? Are anyone out there?
They all stream mobile games, remember?
That's right, yeah.
And it's not English speaking, so no wonder we don't know many. But let's cover the updates anyway, because you never know who will be helping. A couple of new features, just the ability to see a list of all the users that have been banned from all live streams. They've added a new dashboard for that. A way of suggesting community managers for your live streams. And finally, an appeals flow in case a chatbot has ever been banned. So yeah, when we say minuscule updates, we really do mean minuscule. And we can then move on to talking about the sort of system-wide updates or addressing false information that we've seen now on Discord, YouTube, and Twitch have all posted about this in the last 2 weeks, which is crazy. I don't know if this is like some synced up... I can't possibly understand how all three companies have posted about misinformation. So why don't you describe what the gist of these three blog posts is, Ben?
Yeah, so I first saw this from Twitch, they're adding some new rules to Twitch about how to prevent misinformation and also how to incorporate off-platform considerations for things like bans. So basically, Twitch came out here and added some rules to their code of conduct, things like that, about spreading misinformation, which they kind of go into detail here in the article of what that is and how they address it. But the other thing they mention here is that they're taking into account off-platform behaviors now, not just what you're doing on Twitch, but also if you're, you know, in hate groups and things like that off the platform and then coming to Twitch to kind of use that as a tool, then they're going to factor that into it, not just look at what you're doing on Twitch now, which I think makes sense. And that's actually in line with what the other two platforms and many other platforms are doing now too. I think they're realizing that, you know, a lot of creators are not just on one platform anymore, and they have these spaces across multiple different socials and kind of use them for different purposes. So that part makes sense. I just think it's interesting that all three of these are hitting misinformation, because when I was looking into it, I found the YouTube blog that was from, I think, 2 weeks back. So this one's technically the oldest one. Same thing, though, talking about how they're trying to combat misinformation on YouTube, trying to remove some of that and reward people who are calling out misinformation. That one feels like it's more of a just discussion on misinformation, Pete, than like an actual hard stance. Did you get that from reading through this article as well?
Yeah, and I think all of this really kind of stems from what happened at the beginning of the pandemic when, you know, misinformation really was going viral. And I think with the whole situation that's going on in Russia or Ukraine right now, it's just being amplified, really. Discord was the most interesting blog post, I think, to read about it, because they're not just taking down servers that are, you know, dedicated to this kind of misinformation, but they're also, you know, banning people that they see spreading it. So I don't know how much, you know, watching what people type, or if there's any like keywords that people are typing that flags the account, or if they're just relying on users flagging accounts, which is what you'd hope, really, I think. But interesting to note that Discord wasn't the only platform that talked about this off-platform behavior. Basically, I think they're covering themselves for if you're completely abiding by the rules on Discord, but then on Twitter, you're spreading hate and misinformation. They want to have the ability to, you know, block your account or cancel your server in Discord and things like that. So I know this isn't the most interesting topic, but it was just weird how the stars kind of aligned that all three platforms released a blog post about this within the space of 2 weeks, like we said.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And I didn't see a whole lot of hard actions come out of this besides from Twitch actually saying that they're going to take action on this. I think they have started banning accounts actually for this policy, whereas YouTube and Discord seem like there's more just talking about how it's an issue and they're trying to find a solution for it. So we'll see if this kind of turns into more. I think Discord cited COVID and lots of rumors going around as kind of the start for this discussion, which makes sense. But I'm sure, you know, it's only going to be more of an issue going forward with the internet from here on out. So it makes sense to kind of get ahead of it too at the same time.
Totally agree. We're flying through the news this week. I guess the main chunk of news that we're going to be discussing is some Twitch updates. And the first of which I think was a couple of weeks ago, we would have covered this if we did a podcast last week, is the announcement of TwitchCon returning. Obviously, has it been 2 years out now? I think it has, hasn't it? 2020 and 2021 were both missed.
Been so long.
because of the pandemic. But both the EU version, which is hosted in Amsterdam, and the US version, which is again in San Diego, have been announced. So for listeners, the Amsterdam one is 16th and 17th of July, and the San Diego one is October 7th and 9th. Ben, are you thinking about going to, I presume you'd more likely go to the US one.
Yeah, I would like to go to the US one, either with my job with Lenovo or probably individually, either way. I love going to Twitch cons, and I haven't been there obviously since, I think actually I haven't been since 2018, but yeah, I would love to go back because it's super exciting. I think it'll be really different now though, because we haven't had one since the boom of COVID and quarantine and everything. And a lot of these streamers are like huge, huge now. They were big before, but now we have a ton of people. I saw people saying that they might have to have like security details and lots of more control for this kind of thing. So I'm really interested to see how that changes. And also just the fact that like the Twitch bubble at the same time is kind of like the live streaming isn't quite as exciting as it used to be. So maybe TwitchCon will feel a little bit different than it did a couple of years back. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how it comes after so much time away and how it ends up looking like for both NA and EU actually.
Yeah, I mean, I was an avid goer of TwitchCon. I think I went to the US one 3 years in a row. So probably 2017, 18 and 19. And then I've been to both. I think the EU one's run twice, and I think I've been to both of those. It's still up in the air whether I'm going to make either of these this year. The dates, unfortunately, have fallen around friends' weddings and things like that, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make either of them. But obviously, if I am there, I will be tweeting about it and making sure that if Ben's there as well, that we do some kind of live podcast. You know, that's a real goal of ours, isn't it, Ben, to be able to at some point do a live podcast. But I'd be interested to know if people in the chat are going to head to TwitchCon. It's kind of... surprising, I think, that it's still such a huge event. You don't really see other companies running these kind of events. I know we have VidCon, but it's not actually YouTube run, is it? It's independent of that. So I'd be interested to see, you know, how big, because they're surely doing it in the same center in San Diego, right? So they can't sell more tickets unless they're just going to take even more space out of that venue.
Right. Yeah, I think it is different than other types of companies. Like, you don't have like a Twitter con or a Facebook con, right? But again, it's going to be so weird to see how it is since it hasn't been around for a couple of years after coming back. I feel like it's going to have a decent number of people who want to come back if they've been before, and maybe some new people as well. But I feel like it'll feel different than previous years. There was also this trend with TwitchCon where it got a little... I remember the first years of TwitchCon, there were these huge announcements and there was so much hype every time there was a keynote. And then like as more keynotes came out each year, there was a little less new to it and it seemed more kind of just like a marketing convention. Mm. I don't know. Do you get that sense too, Pete?
Yeah, I do. My favorite one actually, and I can't remember what year this was the year that they did Tim the Tap Man had his live roast and... Yeah. Like the keynote speech that they did was announcing like 20 new features that were coming in the next year. And it seemed to move away from that. Like they kind of space out when they announce new features now rather than putting it all together in an event. But I've always enjoyed going to it's weirdly running like a YouTube channel that's all about live streaming. You never get to meet the people unless you go to something like this. And then you get to meet streamers that have watched you for years. And it's always just such a good experience. I'm always quite like nervous about going, being like, is this going to be a waste of time? Because I always go on my own. So I always end up just like meeting a few, you know, people that I recognize their usernames from the internet and then just spending the whole week with them. But yeah, it is always good fun. So it is well worth going if you can. And hopefully we'll find a way to get there. And Ben, you just got to lean on your company a little bit more to make sure that you can get
have
across.
Them cover it. We'll see. I would love to do the live podcast thing there, like on the floor or something. It'd be pretty cool. I will say one great thing about TwitchCon always is that you come back from it super excited about streaming. I've always had that experience going there. So like if you've been feeling a little bit disenchanted with Twitch, I think that definitely could help you get excited about it again. And just meeting people that you've known for years is always really cool too, like you said.
Yeah, that's the one shame about this job is that you don't have like the office environment where you can you know, get motivation from each other. I've always had the same. I come back like so pumped to make content. I think because you're just constantly meeting people who know you from something, and then you're like, oh, people do actually watch my stuff. Anyway, let's move on from TwitchCon. This was kind of a controversial release, but you know, in the title, it's a good thing. There's a new ad revenue one-click solution on Twitch, apparently, where you, well, it's actually just rolled out to selected affiliates and partners right now, but I think the idea is it will eventually go to all affiliates and partners, where essentially you'll be able to choose between three different personalized offers where you're going to get guaranteed incentives, guaranteed amounts of money to stream a certain number of hours a month and run a certain number of ads per hour. So the screenshot that we're sharing on screen for people just listening to the podcast is the one that I saw going around on Twitter. Essentially, the three offers are $100, $300, and $500. And the requirements for those are to run to all of them are for streaming 40 hours a month. And then the $100 one is 2 hours of ads, $300 is 3 hours of ads, and the $500 is 4 hours of ads. And these are just examples. They're going to customize the amount depending on your viewership and I guess a lot of your statistics, how many people are actually watching ads, those kind of things. So let's break it down. What's the actual idea here? The idea is to make it much more simple for streamers to realize or to be able to calculate how much money they are going to be making in a given month based on how much they stream and how many ads they run. That is what they're trying to make easier, I believe. But I've seen a lot of the complaints being about the actual incentive not really being any better than if you were just to manually run ads anyway. Ben, you are an expert on all things Twitch since you're the one that streams there. What do you think?
Sometimes. Yeah, I mean, okay, there's a couple things. First of all, I like the idea of this program, the fact that you could have a solid number that you would get for streaming a certain number of ads, because it's very loose right now on how much you actually make from it, if anything, on Twitch. But the problem is that I know you mentioned that there are examples in this image of the 100, 300, 500, but the problem is that from what I've heard, the real payouts are like drastically lower than what they have here. So instead of 100, 300, 500, it's like a couple bucks. You know, it's like 10 degrees smaller than they're showing here. So I think while it looks cool on paper here, like in practice, it may not actually be any different than what you're already doing. And again, the ad system on Twitch is, as people have said here in chat, it's already not great. I think this would be better in a sense because at least you could predict. But again, if you're not making anything from ads anyway, then you know, if you're getting like, you know, a $4 incentive for streaming 2 minutes of ads every couple hours, then is it really worth it to do that? I don't know. It'd be tough sell for me for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we need to see actual examples of people's screenshots more often, because this, you're making it sound as though this example screenshot is like a partner streamer streaming to 50,000 people. And then like, do they really care about making $500 in a month by running 4 minutes of ads every single hour? Like that's, you know, that's almost 5% of your hourly stream being ads. The ad system on Twitch is so difficult for them to work out. And I do sympathize with them because it's nowhere near as easy as YouTube's system where people are largely watching VOD content, so they can, you know, sell ad rates in real time to companies wanting to sponsor on, you know, certain genres of video. It's a much harder problem to solve because people aren't watching live content like they're watching VOD content. You're getting millions and millions of views on a lot of VOD content and you're not getting that on live, so it is difficult. They're obviously still feeling that pressure from Amazon to turn a profit. But I don't hate the idea. It's obviously going to be useful for people that do rely on, you know, the ad system on Twitch to be able to get a more reliable idea as to how much money they can earn by running a certain number of ads every hour. They also talk, I think, in this blog post about how they'll make it easier once you've clicked one of these three offers to actually run those ads. So you're not having to spend loads of time in your dashboard, like customizing when the ad's going to play or selecting it. So I don't know if they've like, you can automatically set when an ad plays basically once you've clicked it.
They have actually updated that even without this program. They've updated the ads manager a little bit where you can set out the spacing for it. I think this is like the next level of that too, if you want to have the actual incentive piece too. So that piece I did have in my dashboard. I don't have the offer for the incentive stuff personally. I would love to hear in chat, or if you're listening, if you actually have this, if you have examples to show of what your payouts are, then that'd be great. But from what I've heard from people looking into it, it's been very, very small amounts so far.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what opinion you can have on that, really. Like Twitch is obviously getting their arm twisted by Amazon to make more money through ads. And it's also difficult because, you know, if somebody gets a screenshot of $1, $2, and $3, if you run 40, if you stream for 40 hours and run ads for 4 minutes of every hour, but that could be a super, super small account. And you've got to think from Twitch's point of view, yeah, it's not worth paying more than $3 because you're showing that advert to one person. So yeah, we need a little bit more data, and it's going to be based on, I think, more than just viewership. It's like viewer locations and what ads they can sell and things like that. But probably covered this in enough detail. There's some great opinions in chat that I've just been highlighting on the stream. And again, we'll link that in the show notes. Next update for Twitch. Is it a Twitch update or an Xbox update? This is now native streaming coming to Xbox Live without needing a separate app, right, Ben?
Yeah, this is super cool. So it's actually built right into the navigation on Xbox, where if you click the home button on your controller, you can navigate to start streaming right away without needing to download the Twitch app separately. It might come pre-installed. I'm not sure. The app, I mean. But yeah, so now I think this effectively replaces Mixer, essentially, in the navigation. It's kind of how I saw this. But it's very cool because it just takes one step of friction out of streaming and makes it really easy to just go live as soon as you've connected your accounts. So I like that change a lot. If you are a Twitch streamer, obviously it's very Twitch focused, not YouTube or Facebook or anything. But in lieu of Mixer being gone, I guess this is a nice way for consoles to have a quicker way to start streaming, even though you might want to use stuff like Lightstream to make it a little more engaging than this. At least this gets you in the door, I think, with streaming for that.
Yeah, it looks like from the screenshot that they've shared here, the options are basic, but you can add your camera, your microphone. You can probably position your camera in one of four corners. You know, this is going to be go live as simple as possible from your Xbox. But it is interesting that they've chosen to use Twitch and not offer any integration with YouTube. They could be working on that behind the scenes, but that's like, in my ideas, that's like Microsoft choosing the lesser of two evils is Amazon versus Google. Like, they prefer to promote Amazon's live streaming service than Google's live streaming service. But yeah, there's plenty of console streamers that do, you know, just want to go live without anything too complicated. I would say the next step up after this is something like Lightstream, where you still don't need a capture card, but you can add overlays and have alerts and things like that. And then obviously the level above that is full on capture card with a PC running OBS or something like that, and being able to customize literally everything with your stream. But pretty cool update, because there'll be plenty of people that will benefit from that. The main chunk and the thumbnail title of this video, or this live stream, this podcast, is to talk about view accounts. Now, this is something that I really saw a lot on Twitter over the week. Lots of misinformation about how views are counted on Twitch. And there's constantly, you know, this isn't necessarily just blaming TikTok, but TikTok is the latest platform where people are posting tips and getting things wrong most of the time. And this has been going on as long as I can remember, way before TikTok was a platform. You know, people saying that if you have the browser tab muted, you don't count as a viewer. Or if you have the browser window not focused, you don't count as a viewer. Or if you're listening on your phone and you lock your lock screen, you don't count as a viewer. All these things. And I think Twitch basically just had enough, because people were saying that it's a change to the platform. And I think just trying to post something was going to create drama, or maybe it was just misinformation. In fact, Twitch could add this to their misinformation post. But Twitch have finally put out a post basically explaining all of how viewers are counted on the platform. And it's basically what, if you applied a tiny bit of sense to the situation, people would really come to the same conclusion. There's a difference between view account and number of people in chat. You can be a person that's in chat, but if you don't have the video player playing the video stream, you don't count as a viewer on the stream. So that's quite common. You know, you'll see bots in chat, like Streamlabs, Stream Elements, but they're not a viewer of your stream. They're not going to count as a viewer on your stream. But likewise, the reverse is also true. If you're watching a stream, but you you are not logged in and you're not participating in chat, you count as a viewer, but you're not going to show in the chat list in terms of the user list in chat, but you'll still count as a viewer for that stream. Right, Ben, I've talked for a while. What's your favorite myth that has been dispelled through this blog post?
I think my favorite one is the muted stream, because I feel like this has been something people have thought about for a long time, and Twitch has just never come out really before, I don't think, and spelled out exactly what counts and what doesn't. So I was excited to see them actually mention this. They tweeted out like some of the most controversial ones to just clarify definitively what is and what isn't a viewer count. So yeah, you still count as a viewer on Twitch if you have the muted stream. So for those of you who like to lurk and work, then you're good on that front. But yeah, it's cool. They spelled out pretty much everything in this post here in terms of what is and what isn't a viewer count, even for mobile for people, and whether they count to your users in chat, things like that. So I think to your point, we've seen a lot of people spreading stuff on TikTok, and I saw a lot on Twitter this week over like, there's going to be a new update on Twitch and they're going to remove you from viewer count if you don't follow and chat every 10 minutes or something, which was obviously not true at all. But it was nice to see Twitch come out and address it and just stop it before it really got out of control for people. So that was cool.
Yeah, it does actually remind me, one of the reasons one of the myths did come out was because at one point Google Chrome, which is, I think, the most popular browser by quite a long margin, released an update where if you had a tab muted, because you can mute individual tabs in Chrome, and then you didn't have it focused, it would stop playing video. And it was an update basically designed to save bandwidth for people that had, you know, muted a tab and then weren't using it, but still streaming loads of video. But that obviously ruined a lot of people's Twitch experience if they were, I don't know, lurking or just hanging out or something like that. So there was like a 1 week period where Google Chrome stopped streaming video when you weren't focused on the tab and you had the tab muted, and then they would no longer count as a viewer because the video stream stopped. But that was actually nothing to do with Twitch's fault. That was to do with Google Chrome, and it fixed within a week. So I think a lot of misinformation came from that. But yes, let's summarize this. Muted streams count. Muted browser tabs count. Tab not focused still count, and if you're streaming on mobile and you background the Twitch app, that still counts. So they all still count, basically. As long as you're watching the video stream or you have the video stream playing somewhere, you'll count as a viewer. And then the whole participating in chat, being on that chat list in the side is completely different. That's whether you're or not you're logged in and choosing to participate in chat. I mean, the be all and end all of all of this is that viewer counts, it's probably best if you don't focus on them, and you know, especially if you're literally counting the viewers, as in, why is this viewer not showing? They're showing in my chat list, but then my number of viewers hasn't gone up by one. You're probably focusing far too much on their numbers, and just concentrate on creating the best content you can. Obviously, on Twitch, on the dashboard, you can hide the viewer count, and I've heard many success stories of people's mental health vastly improving ever since they stopped caring about the viewer count. And it's a difficult thing to do. It's difficult for me on YouTube as well not to care about video performance. It's the same thing. It's all just metrics. The best thing you can do is try and ignore it and just concentrate on making the best content you can.
Yeah, that last point's really interesting. I'd love to hear from chat too. Do you hide your viewer count or do you show it? Because I always hide it for the most part. I might check on it like occasionally throughout the stream, but even for this stream they're doing right now, I'm not looking at the viewer count at all for my personal, for working on brand accounts. I just don't ever look at it because it doesn't really help me most of the time. Like you might see a rate or something and get excited for a second, but I find that the stability of just not seeing it is more helpful than the highs and lows of seeing it go up and down personally. But that's just me. Pete, are you watching the viewer count of our stream right now?
No, I don't have any tabs from YouTube open. I have the chat popped out so that we can do this whole highlighting of opinions on stream. Speaking of which, there's quite a few people saying that they hide it. Witchy Robin, yes, I hide it for myself. But we also have the other side of the things. Glavion, taking a punt at your name, says that they don't hide it. So some people do, some people don't. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, as long as you can make sure that you're not going to affect your mental health by staring at the numbers all day. If you believe in the content, you really don't need to check the numbers too often. I think just keep making what you're making. There is one last bit of Twitch news, which we probably should have put before that, but let's jump to it now anyway. this was, you know, when Twitch arrives on Bloomberg, it's a big deal. You know, this is what the professional businessmen and women of the world read. But there's a pretty popular article, and I saw this linked on multiple different news sites about the so-called exodus of Twitch executives. And I think in the article, they reference DJ Wheat. Yeah, they do. They've got a picture of him there. But not just him, like 9 other executives or you know, people that have been at the company for a long time leaving. And kind of breaks down some of the thought process as to why. And I've seen a few videos and pieces of content that people have made talking about how Twitch now is sort of seen as a stepping stone for people's careers. They go there and work there for a few years and then move on. So they've lost a lot of that core employee base that really cared about the platform. Now, I don't know how much of this is just Twitch has got to that point where it's big enough and recognized enough that people are going to start, you know, offering their opinions about it. But yeah, like I said, it being referenced in Bloomberg about its struggles to keep employees motivated and staying at the company, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is really interesting. And I think I have the feeling that it's not only Twitch, but probably especially happening at Twitch. They mentioned in the article that 60 plus people have left Twitch since the start of the year and just for total staff, and that at least 6 of those were major staff members who did that, which is interesting. And from what I've heard, kind of like you, Pete, it seems like this is likely to continue and not to taper off from what employees are saying there, which is probably not a good sign. I've also heard some concern that people who are there now don't like get the gaming culture as much as people who originally started and have moved on from there since, which is kind of concerning. But again, I see some that's at YouTube too, like with Fwiz moving on and a couple other key members. I just think it's probably an industry with so much turnover because there's so much demand in this space, right? That people want the best talent they can get and are just continuously making competitive offers to people for other roles. So it's tough unless you're really invested in this space. It's also just so new that if you have expertise in this field, you're very valuable in that way because there just aren't many people out there who've worked at the industry level and this kind of thing yet.
Couple of opinions I think worth discussing here. Dustin says, who better to be in touch with content creators and streamers than to have content creators and streamers in executive positions as long as they can actually do the job? I think we've seen Twitch sort of apply this, certainly when they've been hiring for some of the trust and safety and different roles like that. We've seen people that have been involved in streaming, but I don't necessarily know if that's the best strategy because you're often going to get people that are maybe very well versed in Twitch culture and like what's happening on the platform, but then lack the skills and ability to actually, you know, run at a management level or something like that. So it's a difficult one. You definitely don't want the opposite where you're hiring people that have no idea what Twitch is. You know, they've learned about Twitch through DMCA and news like that, but they don't actually really understand the platform, never streamed on the platform before. But it's a tricky thing. I think there was another opinion I wanted to highlight that I agree with. Wog Oz says executives are just people. If the platform is strong, it will survive. And I kind of agree with that. If you have the right people at the very top making the real important decisions, then yes, you might have a high staff turnover, but hopefully the decisions being made by the top management level are the right ones that will keep the platform going.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it'll be interesting to see kind of where it goes from here. I hope that they keep really investing in the creators and the Twitch culture. I think especially looking at the way that, even like we just talked about, they respond to that rumor is a good sign of getting ahead of things like that and putting out information, which historically Twitch has not always done. So I'd love to see more of that and more communication on programs like that. But hopefully they're able to get people to replace those major positions that they haven't already to help lead. Because to your point, it is tough to get people who have actual industry experience too. Obviously, people who use Twitch, it's good if you use Twitch to come to Twitch and kind of understand that. But you also have to be able to lead a team, to lead projects, and have that sort of management expertise for a lot of people too, especially for these senior positions that it seems like are kind of the higher turnover rates.
Let's wrap up the show with a couple of plugs, Ben, because it's not just a new video for gaming careers this week. Ben has returned to the world of YouTube. We'll start with gaming careers. Obviously, it's my podcast, but you know, stop trying to butt in with your video. Yeah, two new videos for you guys to check out if you haven't already. I put a new video out this week, 4 days ago, of how to create your own animated emotes. And if you like this podcast, you will definitely like that show, because actually I didn't use my own face to make animated emotes. I used Ben's. Ben sent me a whole heap of photos that I could use for the podcast, you know, big PogChamp faces and things like that, and I turned them into animated emotes, and you guys can easily follow along. It's a tutorial using completely free software where you can customize and make your own animated emotes, because now all Twitch affiliates and partners can use animated emotes on their channels. So get some creative for your community. Ben, do you want to introduce your video after a hiatus of of a year? He's back uploading on YouTube.
Oh, was it that long? The glorious return. Yeah, so I finally put out a video on my personal channel. If you guys have not followed, check that out. But basically, it's about how I got my job in the gaming industry. I work for Lenovo, and so how I actually got a job. Kind of tying back to the discussion with Twitch there. And just some advice for how, if you want to get into the actual industry side of things, like how you can make that happen for your first job and then take that into further jobs as well. So I'm trying to get back into it to make a more regular thing, kind of like Pete here, just starting pretty simple and building the habit, which I've found is really important for streaming as well, but also for videos so far. It's just getting used to making them. So yeah, that's mine. Yeah.
I thought it was a great video. You should definitely just start putting content out more regularly. I tell you that most weeks when we finish our podcast here and we have a little chat. Yeah, if you guys don't subscribe to Ben, absolutely do. You guys have listened to him on this podcast for over a year now. Yeah. And he's got the same approach when it comes to videos, like high quality information and a better voice and a better face than I do. So go and subscribe to his channel as well. I think that's probably going to do it for this week. And I have to be the bearer of bad news that there isn't a podcast next week. I'm fingers crossed, hopefully going on a skiing holiday, which I haven't been abroad for 2 years since this whole pandemic. So probably no podcast next week, but
Dare you, Pete, take a vacation. Can't believe
I know it is bad. I'll be making a video this week that we'll either post this week or next week to make sure that there's still content going out. Of course, don't want to let the YouTube algorithm punish me for not uploading. But yeah, hoping for a little break. But the podcast will be back probably the Monday after that with more news and more things to discuss. So thanks everybody for joining. If you're listening to the podcast and you're not watching it live and you're listening on Spotify, you can now rate or give us a thumbs up. It's either a 5-star or a thumbs up. You could give us 4 stars if you wanted, but that would be insulting to both the work that Ben and I put in. Apple Podcasts, you can rate and review. I think those are the only two platforms that you can rate and review, but obviously you can listen to this podcast on probably hundreds of different platforms. And if you're watching the YouTube live stream or the VOD after the fact, give us a thumbs up. It does really help, even though these videos don't go out to the whole subscriber base. There are a whole handful of people that like watching the VODs and can't tune in live because of the timing of things. So do give it a thumbs up so it gets recommended to people as well. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks, right, Ben?
Yep, sounds good. Thanks for watching, everybody. We appreciate it.
See you later.
See you.